Hey everybody, it's Cam here with a Nerd Book Review and my top 8 books of 2023. 8 might seem like a weird number. Why didn't I just go with 10 or limit it to 5 or something like that? But these 8 books are what I would have called my 5 plus. That might sound stupid, but often on Goodreads or Amazon, I will give a book that's a 9 out of 10 a 5 star on either of those sites. But these 8 books are ones that would be my definite 10 out of 10, or 5 plus as I call it. We're going to start in reverse order with number 8, and then eventually I'll get to number 1, hopefully not take too much rambling, and let's get going then. Number 8 is In Solitude Shadow by David Green. I actually read the entire series this year. I loved every book. This is a true epic fantasy, has some cool world building. In fact, the world building was really well done in this one. The magic system is awesome. We have that true existential crisis. We have several main characters, and Kayleen especially is one that I really like. She is a sparker. She has magic, and she is going to try to save a nation from destruction by another group of people. Like I said, true epic fantasy. There's a lot of really cool Wheel of Time Easter eggs in here as well. The author, David Green, actually used to have a YouTube channel that went over the Wheel of Time. This is the first out of the 10 out of 10 books I read and really made me re-remember exactly how my old rating system used to work when I was doing the podcast. Number 7 is a mouthful. Miss Percy's Pocket Guide to the Care and Feeding of British Dragons by Quenby Olson. It is a Victorian-era cozy read that covers one main character, Miss Percy. Miss Percy was a spinster who was living a quiet, boring life as a basically glorified maid for her sister's rich husband when she finds a dragon egg and her entire life will change. This book was just a fun read. It took me only like a day and a half to read. I enjoyed every bit of it. I laughed out loud multiple times. It really takes the trope of like Sense and Sensibility or something like that and turns it on its head. Just an absolute great time. Number 6 is Kraken Rider Z by Dirk Ashton and David Estes. This is the only book that was actually published in 2023 that was on my best of list, so I guess it is my number one book of 2023. It is a progression fantasy that covers a boy named Z who, you might have guessed it, becomes a Kraken Rider. This is a world where normally there are sentient dragons that will bond with humans after they go through a big training, and it has all that progression fantasy stuff that you would expect, but it's done in a really good way. I'm not really a big progression fantasy fan as a general rule, but this is really integrated into the storyline, never takes you out of that movie in your mind. I really liked the main character. He was a fun as a teenager. I think in a progression fantasy, you always generally have a teenager since they're going to have their whole academy or school system where they're going to level up and all that stuff. Really well done. Tons of action. Always entertaining. I started off kind of reticent to even read this in the first place. I only read it because I've always loved Dirk Ashton's other stuff, his Paternus stuff. And by the time I was done, I was emailing him, telling him to get book 2 out to me as soon as possible. Great read. Number 5 is another one of the cozier reads, Outlaw Mage by K.S. Vioso. I have been a fan of hers for years now. She has another couple series out that are really awesome. You get a little more of an Eastern bent. Vioso is originally from the Philippines. She lives in Canada now, but she gets that Eastern flavor if you're tired of the Western European style of books. This book is also a single point of view character book. Osha is the main character's name. She is a very powerful mage, but she ran away from the political system because she is a minority who is tired of dealing with prejudice. And so in the end, she'll have to deal with her consequences and get back into the system. But it is a really good book. It was entertaining. This one would probably be considered like a gas lamp, but magic, you know, covers all of that gas lamp area. Really fun. The first book in a series, and I can't wait to read the next books. Number 4 is the only book from this list that comes from one of the big 5 publishers. That is A Blight of Black Wings by Kevin Hearn. Is the second book in the Seven Kennings series. I read the first one years ago. I thought I read the second one, but it turned out I had not. This book is another true epic fantasy, has a ton of point of view characters, but it is all told from the point of view of a bard who can actually, through his kenning, his magical ability, is able to perform magic and look like other characters, so it seems like it's a whole bunch of others. This one has a couple of different threads. The first book in the series is called A Plague of Giants, where two different races of giants are attacking the normal-sized people. There is a really cool world-building system in this one. All of the magical abilities, in order to potentially be blessed and use the magic, requires you to basically commit suicide. And if you are lucky enough to be blessed, then you don't die in the attempt to get magic. And a majority of people in all of the different magical abilities, seven kennings, will die in their attempt to get their magic. Really cool, truly epic fantasy. This one is the second book in the series, like I said, and it's actually my favorite of the three books. Book one was Chris and my wife's on their Book of the Year award back in 2017, and I can't believe I never read book two, but this one might be my favorite book two in a series ever. So big time, big fan. Can't recommend Kevin Hearn and his Seven Kenning series enough. I also just finished up book three. It is another good book, so the series is finished if that's something that's important to you. Now my top three. Book three was solidly in this position. The only question I really had was what I was going to do with book one versus two, so they're basically one and 1A for me. Number three, Legacy of the Brightwash by Crystal Matar. This one is a book that really just hits you in the feels. Right off the bat, the book starts off with the body of a child washing up on the shores of the Brightwash River. Our protagonist is a man named Toshwe. He kind of reminds me of like Clint Eastwood in the old spaghetti western movies. He is a war veteran. He doesn't have magic, but he is part of a police force that keeps track of people who do have magic in the city and makes sure that they're doing what the authorities tell them they should be doing, because having a magical ability is considered a curse in this case. But his son was also one of those people who could use magic, and he gets thrown into this magical prison because he refuses to register and do what the authorities want him to do. And so Toshwe has clearly been questioning whether what he's doing is the right thing or not. And when the body of a child washes up on the shores of the river, he is going to have to start asking himself some real questions about whether what society is doing is right or wrong. And even if what they're doing helps the majority, if they're oppressing the minority, whether he can continue to do his job or if he's going to try to do something better for the society. This book really hit me in the feels, and it put itself right up there on the Mount Rushmore of books that hit you in the feels, right up there with the Broken Earth trilogy by N.K. Jemisin. I can't wait to read book two. The only reason I haven't read book two yet is because it's like 1,250 pages long, and I'm planning on reading it. I've got one more Spiffbo book, and then I'll read book two. Okay, my top two. I really struggled to decide what I was going to choose as my number one and which one was being my number two book. So this is in some ways 1A and 1B, but my number two book of the year is going to be Reign and Ruin by J.D. Evans. I think the only reason I chose this one as number two instead of number one is because book one actually has like truly all elements of it are fantasy. So I think if it was a coin flip, that's what made this one number two. This is a romanticy that was just amazing. The romance is a secondary element in as far as I'm concerned to the world building and the magic system. This magic system might be one of my favorite magic systems in any series I've ever read. And coming up this winter, I'm going to read books 2, 3, 4, whatever is up available. But we have two main characters. They both have magical abilities. They are one's the ruler of one empire and the other one's the ruler of another. They've had a historical enmity, but they're going to have to work together to save both of their countries from a group that is kind of like the Europeans from the north, and they are wanting to wipe out magic in the world. just a ton of fun. There was a lot of action. I also had liked the world building scenes. As long as the world building is done properly, I don't care if there's info dumps. There's lots of info dumps in this one, but I just loved this book so much. Until I read what will be book number one, this one was definitely going to be my number one book of the year. So it is absolutely a 10 out of 10. I can't wait to read more books. And even if you're on the fence of whether you like to read romanticy, I absolutely cannot recommend Rain and Ruin by J.D. Evans enough. So my number one book of 2023 is Daughter of the Beast by E.C. Greaves. This book is also a Spiffbo 9 finalist. This book has absolutely zero humans in it. It is a Slavic fairy tale inspired epic fantasy that has a main character. She starts off as a teenager in Arizentale. She is a fae. So she's pretty small, like 5 feet tall. And she is kidnapped at the beginning of the book by the vicious wolf women, the Volkari, and basically made the adopted daughter of the clan matriarch. The matriarch believes that Zentile holds the key to actually saving their society. The Volkari are caught between two empires that are run by what are basically orcs or goblins. And they, since they're wild, they're wolf women, they're vicious, they're like 7 feet tall. They don't really have a place in society as these two empires that are at war with each other are trying to expand their frontiers. And the matriarch of the Volkari believe that Zentile holds the key to saving their society. This book, I could not put it down. I loved every bit of it. We can see I have all three books right here. I plan on making books 2 and 3, my last two books I read in December. Honestly, I am just super excited to continue reading it. I cannot recommend this book enough. This one and Rain and Ruin by J.D. Evan, they were so close on which one was going to be my number one versus number two. And like I said, I think in the end, I went with this one number one simply because everything about it was a fantasy, right? We don't have any humans at all. Both books just were completely entertaining to me. This one doesn't include quite as much magic as Rain and Ruin. Rain and Ruin was definitely the magic system that really reined me in. The interaction between the two main characters was great. In Daughter of the Beast, it was just all of the fantastical elements. It was so fun not having any humans in there because you're able to I think, shed a little bit of the prejudices that you're naturally going to have when you don't have humans. The Volkari are absolutely not the good guys in this book, right? Or I should say the good women in this book. But because they're fighting against goblins and fae and things like that, I didn't have that natural just little kernel in the back of my mind hoping that they did lose or that, you know, if they won, that it was going to be in some way bad. You know, you don't want to have that, but I think just because you're human, there's always going to be that little bit of an element in there. And not having any humans was just such a wonderful thing in this book. Zentile, she's a teenager, but she is a great main character. She's capable. She doesn't have, fits of anger or anything like that, like you're sometimes going to expect to have from a teenage character. She's just a great all-around protagonist. I'm super excited to move forward into 2024 and be reading all new books all the time. This year, I actually only read new books for about half of the year. And before that, I just finished up and my about eighth or ninth reread of Wheel of Time. I also did my third reread of the Malazan Book of the Fallen series. Went through some of the old Mark Lawrence stuff, all of his Broken Empire stuff. So this coming year will be almost all new stuff, except for a few, my once a month, I plan on reading a classic. And I am just so excited for everyone that is following me. And I hope that if you watch this video, you like the video and follow. And we'll see how 2024 treats us. Thanks, everybody.